Dear Swami, I love you so much. Please think and act and speak through me. Dear sisters and brothers, a loving Sai Ram to all of you. My name is Jan Flores and I am the chairman of the Christmas Committee. And I am allowed to work, very happy to be allowed to work with all those beautiful people to present this unique Christmas for all of you. I will introduce the program tonight and say a word of thanks. Almighty God, make me aware of you in every moment of my life. Let me know that I am you. Let me know that I am you. The theme of this Christmas is the power of love. And I will tell a little story about it. It happened to me in 1991. I was in Whitefield and allowed to be inside the ashram in a room with 8 other guys. Very cramped, mattresses right next to one another. And next to me was a guy who didn't speak at all to me. He wouldn't answer my Sai Rams. He would look straight through me. And it was very awkward to sleep next to him. And I thought, he's a very good person to try Swami's teachings on. So I sent him love whenever he was ignoring me. I did this for 10 days. And then the 10th day, he and I were alone in the room. And my watch didn't work anymore. I said, hey, my watch broke. Then he went into his trunk. He took out the watch. He gave it to me and said, here, you can have it. I was really surprised. And then he started talking to me about his lonely, lonely life where he grew up without any companions. So then I understood why he was this way. So love can even materialize watches. Once a devotee asked Baba here in Prasanthi Nilayam, why are we having so many bad thoughts here? And then Baba said, it is my grace. Because heart is like a garden. Grace is like rain. When rain falls, flowers and weeds come up. This is the only time where we can recognize the weeds and pull them out by the roots. Past is history, future uncertain, and present is a gift. And this is what we can do with this gift. Baba says, don't give me what I already have. I have everything. Give me what I don't have, your vices, your bad thoughts. I know what to do with them. I am the Dobi. I take your soiled soul and I give it back to you in pristine state. This is the beautiful process that we all go through here in this ashram in Prasanthi Nilayam. We come with a lot of luggage, baggage, and we go home in peace. Jesus teaches us to adore God and love our neighbors. All of them. Yesterday, George talked about joy. Jesus first, others next, yourself last. And this is letting go of ego. Now, I'll tell a little story that happened around 1980 in Utah, where 17 students could be with Baba to spend their summer vacation. They'd rather be with Baba than with their parents, and they went there. And they were allowed to go into the forest to see wildlife. 17 of them went, but only 15 would fit in the bus. So the guide says, two have to step down. My friend and the cook, they stepped down. The rest went into the woods, and they never saw any wildlife. The next day, Baba took those two students in his own car. He went into the woods, and there were 10 elephants in a row, from small to large, paying salutations to Baba with their trunks. On the way back, Baba explained, "See, yesterday they choose the world, but you choose me. Now they have nothing, but you have me and the world. This is what love does, what letting go of ego does. Because love will take over also in the outside world." This ashram is soaked in love. Nowhere in the world is a place like this to be found, where purity and unity are natural without any effort on our part, where we all behave like brothers and sisters of one family. Now look at this beautiful ashram, well tended by loving gardeners, well tended by loving trust and officials, by loving people who clean and maintain this beautiful ashram, where Buddhists and Muslims and Christians all work together as one, celebrating God in each and every one of us. I want to give a special thanks to the members of the Trust, the ashram officials, and the Kulwant Hall and Severdal team for all their support to make this Christmas happen. Thank you all for making this the holiest Christmas in the world. One of our decoration workers is deaf and cannot speak. He wrote a poem. I will read a verse for you to honor him. Teach us to forgive, bless us and inspire, and with every sacred name of thine, let thy radiant light guide us always into the path of goodness, into the path of love. And let's now introduce the speaker of today, the young adult, Kasia Andersen. She is a Christmas committee member and one of the decoration leaders. She is the educational coordinator in Poland and member of the International Society Environmental Committee. She's working as a child and family psychologist in a primary school and in a psychology clinic in Warsaw for children. She does her consultations on the basis of the 5 human values. Last year, Kasia represented the Sachisai International Organization in Delhi in the UNESCO conference, the first UNESCO World Youth Conference on Kindness. There she showed the strength of Baba's teaching. Let us now invite Kasia Andersen with a huge applause.
Om Saram, my humble pronouns at your lotus feet, Swami. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, a loving Saram to all of you. I hope you have had a beautiful Christmas filled with love and joy. I would like to begin with thanking you, Swami, for this beautiful opportunity of speaking on this holy Christmas day. Jesus Christ was born 2,000 years ago, but we still remember him and we still celebrate his birthday. Why is that? Because the power of his love was and is so strong and so profound and so pure and unconditional that even now, more than 2,000 years later, when he's not in his physical form anymore, people experience his love. There's nothing more powerful than God's love. It can make impossible possible. And I would like to share with you today some experiences that I had with the power of God's love. When I was a child, I was searching for this love. I somehow felt that this love exists, but I couldn't find it anywhere. I was raised in a Catholic family, but even in the church, I really couldn't find this love. I understood the teaching of Jesus more or less about love, but some of the experience of that love was missing. And I almost gave up the hope to find this love when Swami came to my life. And at that time, I was 23. And when I came here, I didn't know he was God. I actually didn't know anything about him. I just felt that he can help me to solve the problems that I had at that time. And that was why me and my friend came. And I remember one day we were sitting in Whitefield and Swami came out for darshan. There was one lady sitting, elderly lady sitting beside us. And Swami came up to her, took his hand and he stroked her very gently on her head. And both me and my friend was in tears. I have never experienced such deep love, so much compassion, so much of, I don't know, he embraced her whole being in his hand. And I also felt that he knows everything about her, which was really something strange for me because I have never seen anything like that. And at that moment, I knew I found what I have searched for all my life. And during the years, I have learned that Swami's love is not only strong, pure, unshakable, and selfless, but it has also an immense power of healing. And as Jan said, I am working as a child and family psychologist in Poland, in a school and in a clinic for children. And I have seen many and have had many experiences with the power of Swami's love and how he heals people. And I would like to share one of these experiences which really touched my heart. There was one lady. A teacher coming to me one morning, and she said, please, can you talk with my mother-in-law? Because she has been drinking and she's hospitalized. She has been drinking for 30 years, but this time she drank 10 days in a row and they almost couldn't, she almost died in the hospital. And I said, see, I'm not an addiction psychologist. I don't think I can help you. But she insisted. And she said, please, please, can you talk to her? And I said, okay, I will talk to her, but I will just do a short consultation and I will send her for therapy. And she said, okay. So after that, I just said to Swami, Swami, please, you have to help me. I don't know how to work with addiction problems. It's very severe and she's hanging between life and death. Every word that I say can have an impact on her. And the moment she came to me and we spoke, I felt Swami's presence so much. It was like Prashanti, really. I was in Prashanti. And the whole room was filled with his love. And after the talk, she came and she cried. She hugged me and she said, you have restored my dignity and you have restored my self-confidence. That is the power of Swami's love. Because see, in psychology, this is not possible. You can't do something that deep in a such short period of time. And this lady, can you imagine, have not been drinking for 3 years now. Not even a sip. And Swami's love is not only restricted to human beings. It reaches out also to the animals and all other beings because all of them are part of his love, of his being. And I had an amazing incident with a horse, which I really wanted to share with you, because that changed my perspective of seeing how deep Swami's love can really reach not only in a human being, but also in an animal. So my friend was working in a rancho where they had horses, and one of the horses had something wrong with his leg. So the other owner wanted to slaughter him, and they saved this horse. They bought him out, but they couldn't ride him. So when I came, the owner said, "Please don't go near this horse because it kicks and bites, and you can't touch him." But you know what happens when someone tells you that you can't do something? You get very curious. So when the horse was standing at the grass, I just went a little bit nearer to him just to see how his behavior was. And what I saw was that he was really afraid. He would like to come, but he was very scared. So the moment the owner put him in the box and they went away, I came to the box and the horse had his head out, so I hugged him. And I prayed to Swami and I said, "Swami, please fill his heart with love and take away all the pain and fear that he has." And the moment I started to pray, the horse fell asleep on my back. He slept for 40 minutes, and when he opened his eyes, he looked like he was being drugged. It was really, he was so relaxed that his jar was dropping. He couldn't put up the jar. And he let me into his box. I brushed him. And when the owner came out, he was so shocked and he said, "You are a witch." If this was another horse, I would have believed, but this is impossible. And I remember I said that time, it was only like 1 year after I came to Swami, and I said, "See, this is the power of unconditional love." So this is the power of Swami's love, but we have to remember that the same power is really in us. We are not different from Him. Both Swami and Jesus said that we are the children of God. Our true nature is unconditional love. We are divine. To realize this, we need to take away all the layers of our ego and attachment, and that we can only do by love. When love expands in our hearts, the body attachment will be lost naturally, and we will awaken to our true divinity and identity. That is the real birth of Christ in our hearts. But how to do that? How to grow that love in ourselves, in our hearts? Swami has said that one of the easiest way to do that is through service. And I would like to share a last story which taught me this lesson. It was in 2010 when we had severe floods in Poland. A lot of parts of the country was underwater, and it was that severe that many people lost their whole houses, everything they owned. And when we came there, the army took us to one place, and I could see only an ocean of water. Every house was underwater. And I remember at that moment, I just said, "Swami, please help those people." Because I felt so much pain and so much misery, and the people were really in despair. Many of them were crying because many people were elderly, and they would not be able to restore everything they had. So from that moment, we started our Seva project. It lasted 1.5 years. We went there every week, and because the people, mostly they needed furniture at the moment. So every time we went with some load of furniture. But the funny thing was that I never knew what I was going to take, because the evening before, people called me and said, "We have this and that." And I never knew to whom the furniture should go. And can you imagine, during 1.5 years, not a single furniture was left. Every time I went, it was exactly what the people needed. And that was one miracle that I really felt was amazing, how Swami knew how to do it. I would never be able to do it by myself like that. And there was one family that really, that touched my heart, because the man in the house, he was paralyzed, half paralyzed. And they had lost everything. And we came one day with a load of a new kitchen. But the problem was that the kitchen was, I thought it was going to be in one row. But the man who gave us the kitchen said it is in four pieces. So it's very difficult to fit in that kitchen. And when we came there, I asked him, what do you need? And he said, oh, really, we need a kitchen. And I said, okay, but you can have a look, but it's a very strange kitchen. You can see if you like it. And he said, wow, the color is very nice. So we went out to the room to see the kitchen, where the kitchen should be in. And can you imagine, the place of the room was exactly the same, like, shape of the room that we had taken out the kitchen. So we just put in the kitchen there. And then I asked him, okay, what do you need more? And he said, we have always wanted some specific lamps for the ceiling. And I had just got these lamps one day earlier from a very rich family, so we gave it to them. And at that moment, what I felt is like, Swami really knows the need of the people. And when they got it, the hopelessness changed to hope. Because when they got everything they needed, they started to feel that they are not alone in this moment of crisis. And the compassion Swami taught me through this year was really something that I have kept deeply in my heart. And every time I do any service project, I remember it deeply. And I would like to close up with saying, thank you, Swami, for all the love that you shower on us, for all the patience that you bear our mistakes with, for all your compassion, care, and protection. And I pray that we all will grow in your love more and more each day. Jai Saram.
Dearest Swami, I love you. Dearest sisters and brothers, I love you as well. Very happy Saram to all of you. The title of the drama that will start now is The Messenger of God. The story is told by an elderly Sai devotee who is working with some youngsters in the convent hall to create Christmas. They are working on decorations. The children ask him, why do you come so often to Prasanthi Nilayam? And then the elder person tells, well, I had many dreams of Swami, and in those dreams, a different view of the birth of Christ was shown to me. In a former life, this elderly person was closely associated with Jesus. But in that life, was he a disciple? Or did he betray Jesus? And what impact had that lifetime on his life now? We will soon find out. Jacob Lorber, a mystic from the 18th century, wrote a book, The Childhood of Jesus. The scene of this advent is based on that book. A central coordinator from the Satchisai International Organization from the USA asked Baba, is this correct, what is written in this book? And Baba confirmed that this is true. The words and actions of Jesus, who plays in this drama, are based on Swami's discourses and on the Gospel according to Matthew. Now let's invite them with a big applause.
Uncle, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
You come here every year for Christmas, and I know you are not a Christian. Uncle, what is so special for you about Christmas at Prasanthi Nilayam?
You know as well as I do that Christmas elsewhere is a time for merrymaking and gift-giving for the most part.
And here it is a holy celebration. I get that. But so is every other celebration here in Prasanthi. Why is the Christmas celebration so special for you?
It's a long story. Perhaps a few days later, when our duties are done. And if you're still interested in knowing.
Uncle, you can talk as we work. I really would like to know. Please, Uncle.
Okay. We have some time now. I had no particular connection with Jesus or Christmas till 1996. I had become a devotee of Bhagawan years earlier, and I would come here as often as I could, usually for birthday. That year, I could come only at Christmas time. During his Christmas discourse, Swami materialized a small Bible that he said contained the true story of Jesus. I had never thought much about Jesus before then, but after that discourse, all I could think about was Jesus. And for some reason, I wanted to know. I very much wanted to catch a glimpse of what this true story of Jesus was. By Swami's grace, that night I had a dream of the circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus.
Was Jesus not born in Bethlehem, Uncle?
He was. As they were approaching the outskirts of Bethlehem, Mary's pains became acute. On Mary's request, Joseph took her into a cave nearby. Shepherds had used it before to rest their animals, and there was hay in the cave for her to rest on. It was evening time, and as Joseph hurried away towards the town of Bethlehem, something extraordinary happened.
What, Uncle? What happened?
All of nature came to a sudden halt.
You mean everything just froze?
Good lady, where in town would I find a midwife?
I'm a midwife. Lead me to your wife.
The Lord be praised. She's in yonder cave.
Ah, the baby is born. I feel mother and child. Let me go in and make sure all is well. Mother and baby are perfectly well. I cannot stay in there though. I'm not pure enough to be in his holy presence.
You know about the child's divinity?
I had a remarkable vision this morning. The Messiah, the King of Kings, is to be born, and I am heading to this very spot to be of service. All of nature comes to a sudden stop to acknowledge the divine birth. And then I see you coming towards me and saying the words that you said. A blinding light shines from the sight of the holy birth. Every part of this vision has come true. The infant resting there is no other than the Savior promised to us by our prophets.
The Lord God be praised. Oh, my Heavenly Father.
Was amazing.
Uncle, you must certainly have lived at the time of Jesus for Swami to grant your wish.
That is exactly what I thought. I developed a great desire to know what my connection to Jesus was. I prayed to Swami intensely.
Did Swami show you?
Yes. I had vivid dreams of my association with Jesus.
Were you a disciple of His?
I wish. I was the opposite. I was one of those who betrayed Him.
Were you Judas?
No, but almost as bad.
Please tell us the whole story, Uncle. Please don't leave out any details.
I was a poor young fisherman. They called me Red John, since I used to tie a red bandana to keep my hair in place. I had no family and lived alone, as my parents had died early and I was their only child. There were stories about Jesus circulating among the fishermen, stories that I was fascinated by, that He was born by the power of the Holy Spirit, that even as a child He was very wise, that He cared deeply about all, especially the poor and the sick. I got my opportunity to see Jesus for the first time while I was on the road, returning after visiting the only relative that I knew, an old uncle.
What was it like, Uncle, to see Jesus for the first time?
I couldn't take my eyes off of Him. He was so loving and gentle and patient. All I wanted to do was to be near Him, to listen to His words of wisdom, to watch the love pour out from Him towards all.
Is this where the healer will be passing through?
Yes, they say he is on his way to Galilee. Word has gone out that if we gather in one place, he will certainly come and heal many.
I have a deaf and mute child. Will Jesus heal her?
Beseech him. Perhaps he will heal your child.
I saw many along the way. Some limping, some supporting the sick, many poor and distressed.
Is it true that this man Jesus heals and helps, but takes nothing in return?
They say he is a messenger of God, that he has a heart of gold. I have a pain in my stomach that comes and goes, and when it comes, it crushes me. I'm praying that he will heal me. What ails you?
I have no pain or sickness. I am passing through this area and hearing about this man of God. I have come to see for myself.
Mother, you have not eaten in a long time. Eat this bread now. Go into town and ask for Rebecca. She's a wealthy old woman looking for a companion. You'll be hungry no more. Eat.
Master, my child, she can neither hear nor speak. Will you not heal her?
Speak, child.
Praise be to the Lord. He is the Son of God.
Master, I'm not worthy to approach you. I'm a leper. In your mercy, command my disease to be gone, and it will leave me.
Be whole. Your faith has healed you.
Master! Master! Will you not bless me? Lord, take this staff for your travels. Your need for it will be greater. Keep it. Is this where the healer will come and perform his miracles? I have heard much about him.
He was here a moment ago, healing the sick and the maimed. But he has left. Where are you headed?
Jerusalem. I sell birds at the temple there. And you? Where are you bound?
I am a poor fisherman from Galilee, returning home after visiting an ailing uncle. Do you make a good living selling birds?
We sell every bird we catch. And, as there are never enough birds for the people to offer in sacrifice, we earn a good amount.
How do you catch the birds? With nets?
Yes. You will be a good bird catcher with your fisherman's net. If you are poor, come to Jerusalem. I will help you.
Uncle, did you take his offer and go to Jerusalem?
Did you become a bird catcher?
Yes, I did. I was very poor, and I always dreamed of being wealthy. So I moved to Jerusalem, and with the help of my newfound friend, became a seller of birds. I was good at catching birds, and very soon I was on my way to earning good money. I was at the top of the world for a few months, and then, one day, suddenly, my world of dreams and hopes came crashing down.
He came and released all the birds.
Why? Who gave him that authority?
Who does he think he is? What right does he have to destroy my livelihood?
What happened? I was there. I saw everything. Jesus walked in and condemned those offering sacrifices. He then released all the birds and said that the divine resides in all creatures, that God is not pleased with the shedding of blood.
And the priests said nothing?
They asked him by what authority he was going against the dictates of religion.
And what did he say?
He said, "You priests obey in words the dictates of the Divine Father, but disobey them in action. My actions show that I do what God has commanded. Hence, I have greater authority than you."
What arrogance!
He should be brought to justice. Man cannot go against what is said in the scriptures.
But the common people revere him and will not go against what he says.
I am confused. I saw him as a kind man, but now he has made me poor again. He has released all my birds.
His kindness is in appearance. He's our enemy.
But
do not doubt, my friend. If this man is not checked, he will cause havoc in all of Judea. Support me and speak up. I will challenge the priests to take action.
The head priest is coming.
As the head priest, what are you going to do about this heretic?
Yes, yes, something needs to be done.
We will see.
We will see? Our temple is being desecrated, and the head priest says we will see? What do you say, friends? If this man Jesus is not reported to the Roman authorities, perhaps we need new priests in our temple.
Yes, yes!
You too have lost your livelihood, my friend. What do you have to say? Speak, my friend. We must save our temple.
He is destroying our laws, our temple. He must go.
He must go. He must go. He must go.
You are right. We will definitely seek justice.
He must go. He must go. He must go.
Well spoken, my friend. He must go. These words of yours will drive this man Jesus out of our lives.
Uncle, did you hate Jesus?
No, no.
Then why did you say those bad things about him?
Because of his bad company. The man who had given him the job with birds kept pushing him to be mean.
I was mortified. When the initial confusion and disappointment wore off, I was miserable.
You really liked Jesus earlier, didn't you?
Yes. I had admired his goodness, his loving heart. I could see that he was guided by God. But now I had betrayed him. My words had energized the crowd to persecute him, perhaps to cause him great harm. I felt sick to my stomach.
What did you do then, Uncle?
I left the area. I was tormented by guilt. I wandered aimlessly, like a homeless beggar, like a madman. For many days, weeks, I lost track of time. Finally, sick in body and spirit, I headed for my earlier home, my fishing village.
Get away, you foul-smelling beggar!
Be kind, my friend. Jesus takes pity on such as him. Follow us, brother. We go to see Jesus, the Son of God. In his mercy, he might change your fortune. You are hesitant to come as you are. There is a well yonder. Bathe yourself. I will bring you fresh clothes from my home nearby. Come. I will take you to the well. Perhaps you need a piece of bread along with the clothes. Come with me to Jesus. He only looks to your heart. He is our friend, yours and mine. Come.
Be like these innocent children. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Master, how do we please the Lord? Should we give in charity? Should we feed the hungry?
Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
And the man who does this, does he gain the kingdom of heaven?
He who follows the Lord's commandments and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. He is the true messenger of God.
Master! Forgive me, Master! Forgive me, Lord.
You are forgiven.
Lord, what shall I do?
Be like him. Be a messenger of God.
Uncle?
I don't know. That was the last dream. But I do know what my life's goal is.
to be a messenger of God?
Yes.
But what does that really mean, Uncle?
Swami says that every single one of us was born to be a messenger of God. As Jesus said, we have to follow the Lord's commandments and inspire others by our example.
It's so difficult, Uncle. I try to be really good, take one step forward, and then I go backward 3 steps.
It is certainly not easy. But is getting honors in school easy? Was winning tennis championships easy for you? The first step is to convince yourself of the importance of the goal you want to achieve. Then you make steady efforts to attain that goal. You may slip, you may fall, but you pick yourself up and keep moving forward.
Uncle, are you being a messenger of God as Jesus told you to?
I am trying very hard to be. Every day, I remind myself of Swami's teachings, especially about being loving towards everybody. I think of Him as much as I can, and I pray for help, for His grace.
I can do that too, Uncle.
I am going to try too.
Very good. Regardless of age or gender, every one of us can be part of His divine mission. In 2008, at the World Education Conference, Swami announced that in 25 to 30 years' time, the entire world will become one, that there will only be one caste, one religion, one God. Let us not miss the opportunity to be His instruments in bringing about that wonderful world.
I'll do my best, Uncle.
I won't miss the opportunity, Uncle. I promise.
Jai Sai Ram.
Jai Ganesh Pahimam Shri Ganesh Rakshamam. Love. Hare 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 Love is my form, truth is my breath, bliss is my food. My life is my message, expansion is my life. My life is my message, expansion is my life. My life is my message, expansion is my life. My life is my message, expansion is my life. No reason for love, no reason for love, no birth, no death. No reason for love, no reason for love, no birth, no death.
With the divine blessings of our most beloved Bhagavan, the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations is organizing a two-day Swarnotsava Guru's Sankalpa Yatra on 27th and 28th of December on the occasion of Golden Jubilee celebrations of Sri Satya Sai Balvikas movement, where more than 2,000 Balvikas Gurus are participating. Tomorrow's morning session in Sai Kulwant Hall will commence at 8 o'clock with Vedam chanting offered by Mandir Vedam Group. At 8:20, the proceedings of the morning program will commence with introductory remarks followed by two talks. The first speaker, Dr. L. Sasibala, National Coordinator, Education Wing, Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations, will be addressing us on the topic, Sri Satya Sai Balvikas, Blossoming of Human Excellence. The second speaker for the morning session, Professor V. Sakuntala, State Coordinator, Education Wing, Andhra Pradesh, will be addressing us on the topic, Sri Satya Sai Balvikas in Andhra Pradesh. After the two talks, with Bhagwan's blessings, we will have a prize distribution ceremony for the state-level winners of Sri Satya Sai Balvikas competitions. The morning session in Sai Kulwant Hall will conclude with bhajans offered by Mandir Bhajan Group, followed by Mangalarti and Bhagwan's Divya Darshan. The evening session in Sai Kulwant Hall will commence at 4:30 with Vedam chanting offered by Mandir Vedam Group. At 4:40, a rally of Sri Satya Sai Balvikas children, Swarnotsava Guru's Sankalpa Yatra, will enter Sai Kulwant Hall. The evening program will then commence with brief introductory remark followed by a talk by the chief guest of the occasion, Professor Nirupa Rani, former Vice Chancellor, Adikavi Nannaya University, Rajahmundry. After the talk, we have two cultural presentations, a dance program by Sri Satya Sai Balvikas children from Karnool titled Bhakta Rakshaka Saisha, followed by a drama presentation by Sri Satya Sai Balvikas gurus from Kadapa and Anantpur districts, titled Satya Darshanam. The evening session in Sai Kulwant Hall will then conclude with bhajans offered by Mandir Bhajan Group, followed by Mangalarti and Bhagwan's Divya Darshan. Jai Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Swamivari Divyanugraha Asisulato. Shri Satya Sai Balvikas Karyakramam Prarambhamai. Yabai Vatsaralu Aina Sandarbhanga. శ్రీ సత్యసాయి సేవా సంస్థలు డిసెంబర్ 27 మరియు 28వ తేదీల నాడు ప్రశాంతి నిలయంలో 2 రోజుల స్వర్ణోత్సవ గురువుల సంకల్ప యాత్ర నిర్వహించనున్నారు. ఈ కార్యక్రమంలో 2000 మందిపై బాల వికాస్ గురువులు పాల్గొనుచున్నారు. సాయికులోని సభా మండపంలో రేపటి ఉదయ కార్యక్రమం 8 గంటలకు మందిర వేద బృందంచే వేద పఠనంతో ప్రారంభమవుతుంది. 8:20 పరిచయ ఉపన్యాసానంతరం శ్రీ సత్యసాయి సేవా సంస్థలు విద్యా విభాగపు జాతీయ సమన్వయకర్త డాక్టర్ ఎల్ శశిబాల గారు మానవ పరిపూర్ణ వికాసానికి శ్రీ సత్యసాయి బాల వికాస్ అను అంశంపై ప్రసంగిస్తారు. తదుపరి ఆంధ్రప్రదేశ్ రాష్ట విద్యా విభాగపు సమన్వయకర్త ప్రొఫెసర్ వి శకుంతల గారు ఆంధ్రప్రదేశ్లో శ్రీ సత్యసాయి బాల వికాస్ అను అంశంపై ప్రసంగిస్తారు. వీరి ప్రసంగానంతరం రాష్టస్థాయి శ్రీ సత్యసాయి బాల వికాస్ పోటీల విజేతలకు బహుమతులు అందజేయబడతాయి. రేపటి ఉదయ కార్యక్రమం మందిర భజన బృందంచే భజనతో కొనసాగి మంగళహారతితో ముగియను. అనంతరం స్వామివారి దివ్య దర్శనం. సాయికులవంత్ సభా మండపంలో రేపటి సాయంకాల కార్యక్రమం 4:30 మందిర వేద బృందంచే వేద పఠనంతో ప్రారంభమవుతుంది. 4:40 శ్రీ సత్యసాయి బాల వికాస్ చిన్నారుల స్వర్ణోత్సవ గురువుల సంకల్పయాత్ర ర్యాలీ సాయికులవంత్ సభా మండపంలోనికి విచ్చేస్తారు. తదుపరి పరిచయ ఉపన్యాసానంతరం రేపటి కార్యక్రమానికి ముఖ్య అతిథిగా విచ్చేస్తున్న ఆదికవి నన్నయ్య విశ్వవిద్యాలయ మాజీ ఉపకులపతి ప్రొఫెసర్ నిరుపారాణి గారు ప్రసంగిస్తారు. వీరి ప్రసంగానంతరం కర్నూలు శ్రీ సత్యసాయి బాల వికాస్ చిన్నారులు భక్తరక్షక సాయిష అను పేరిట ఓ నృత్యం సమర్పిస్తారు. తదుపరి కడప మరియు అనంతపూర్ జిల్లాలకు చెందిన శ్రీ సత్యసాయి బాల వికాస్ గురువులు సత్యదర్శనం అను పేరిట ఓ నాటకం సమర్పిస్తారు. రేపటి సాయంకాల కార్యక్రమం మందిర భజన బృందంచే భజనతో కొనసాగి మంగళహారతితో ముగియను. అనంతరం స్వామివారి దివ్య దర్శనం. జై సాయిరాం.